Good morning, SEC. We made it, baby. It's game week. Pile on in here. We got an absolutely loaded show for you today. Week zero kicked off in Dublin, Ireland. That's where I'm at. Nothing more college football than a football game in Dublin, Ireland. That makes sense, right? I don't make the rules. Did enjoy the content. Got a lot of great stuff coming your way. New debut, a segment, Studs and Duds, Word of the Day. And while we're all here, obviously SEC is going to a 9-game schedule in 2026. That means your team will now have 3 permanent opponents, and I've got the hookup. That much more on this episode of SEC Hangover. Oh, man, you are correct. We are here. We have arrived. Morning, cousins. Getting everybody piling in here, ready for some SEC action. Oh, we're 3 days away. 3 days away from SEC football. In the notes, the comments, who's your favorite player to wear the number 3? Oh, Bradley coming here. Don't know if you remember this guy who okay, all right, let's do it. We're already talking chat. It's Monday. All right. Let's go. Let's get with it. All right. Let's jump into this thing, guys and girls. I ain't got much time, so we got a lot of stuff to get into. Some notes, all right? Just so you're aware of some things that's going to be popping up this week. Thursday, we got the Mizzou game will be kicking off SEC action. Friday, some are saying that Baylor-Auburn game may be the game of the week. I don't know who's saying that, but this guy right here, I'm telling you, this could be Hugh Freeze's biggest game that he's ever played in or coached in, and it just got a little more interesting. So you're aware, David Smoke posted very timely for CFB on Fox to announce that RG3 debut as color analyst for Friday's Auburn and Baylor game. He promises not to dote on Baylor too much. Just so you're aware. All right, let's talk about some big games. This weekend, you know, here's the thing. Week zero, I absolutely love because we're closer to college football, right? It's an appetizer. I don't quite understand the Ireland thing. I'm sure somebody will explain it to me one day. It seems like we could have had a couple of marquee games this week, but beggars can't be choosers. Did enjoy the action. It was really nice watching Kansas State get their ass kicked. Even the Stanford. I mean, how many Stanford-Hawaii games would I watch week 3? 0. But I did get to watch a little bit of that, so that was awesome. But it got me thinking about a segment, and this is something we're going to do every week. We're going to highlight the weekend studs and duds. You didn't know Shane could do that, did you? Yeah, I'm getting a little smarter with these computers. Actually, they're doing all the work. But I do want to highlight this weekend stud. All right, this one's kind of sad, but it is important to note that Lee Corso, ESPN legend Lee Corso's final College Game Day show will be week 1, August 30th. So this Saturday, Lee will be leaving us. And, you know, there's some folks, SEC folks, that absolutely hate Lee Corso, and there's some that absolutely love him. But say what you want, Lee Corso, he was college morning. You know, I mean, this is my childhood, right? Waking up, watching these guys pick who's going to win, pick who's going to lose. Lee Corso always making a little fun, throwing the head. It got you pumped up, did it not? I mean, even if he picked your team, he was like the original, the OG Grim Reaper. You definitely didn't want him to pick your team, but, you know, it's kind of sad watching that go away. And, you know, we're getting older. That's just what happens, the nature of this thing. But that show would not be what it is today if it wasn't for Lee Corso. So shout out to this week's stud, Lee, heading out. You know, a lot of people may sound like he's passed away. He hasn't passed away. He's retired. He's just not going to get up there. And I think it was too much for him. But you can't have studs without duds. Video after Kansas State loss busted. And oh my gosh, things are not good in Ireland. Mm-mm-mm. Is it college football we ain't fighting? I don't think so. But it ain't college football without Cousin JR coming through. Big shout out to Cousin. Gifting a cousin, a friendship. Let's say, well, friends, your fam, friends and family. This one goes out to Big Blue Productions. Big Blue, welcome to the family. And you could tell I'm a little rusty because I forgot to remind the cousins who's keeping the lights on. Let's jump over to who's producing, who's bringing us this action. Let me get to the top here. My bookie, promo code SEC. Now, if you can get on there, it is 100% match time. And what I mean by that is every dime you put into this, SEC, my bookie will match that deposit 100%. And let's not forget, that's the money you want to play with. You know, this game wasn't so interesting. The Kansas State Stanford game, you know, you put a little money on it, though, it becomes very interesting. You know what else is interesting? My family, my friends over here at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Come on, official whiskey, official bourbon of that SEC podcast. If you're in Sevier County, we had Jeep Week, absolutely nuts over here. That's why I took this vacation, to get out of town, because that place is absolutely crazy. But I hope that you were able to swing by Tennessee Legend Distillery. Tell them the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a bigger discount than the locals, but you're also going to get a bonus package. You can also find this in Nashville. And if you're out of state, just let your local package store know you want some Tennessee Legend sent your way. And guess what? They'll put it on the shelves. Last but not least, we got Prize Picks, promo code SEC, Prize Picks. Right now, if you deposit $5, Prize Picks will give you $50 to put toward your Prize Picks this week. Mike had an awesome, awesome episode last night. He's got a couple of season picks in there. And I tell you what, Mike's not good at bets, but he is wonderful at Prize Picks. I tried to argue with him, but he's probably right. So, all right, let's go. We got more action. We got the fight, right? That was the big news coming out of Ireland. But bigger news is we found out who was fighting. It was Mark Johnson. And if you're not familiar with Mark Johnson, well, if you know the starting quarterback, Kansas State, Avery Johnson, that's his dad. Oh, my gosh. Not only was he fighting after the game, but he was fighting with his boy. Tim Fitzgerald has confirmed that this was a post-game confrontation involving Mark Johnson, father of Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson, and another man believed to be Mr. Johnson's eldest son. According to witnesses, the conflict turned physical. According to one source, no arrests were made, blah, blah, blah. Well, later confirmed by Pete Nakos, a statement was released from Mark and Anthony Johnson's camp. We sincerely apologize for our actions following yesterday's football game in Ireland. Senseless bickering escalated to unnecessary fight. We have resolved our differences and take full responsibility of our actions. We have apologized to our immediate and extended family, and now extend our apologies to Kansas State University, its alumni, and fans. We regret this incident. So today's dud goes to Mark Johnson, Kansas State. But that's not what we're here for. We're not here for fights. we're here for the word of the day.
Now it's time for word of the day.
Who gave me a computer? Word of the day is stalwart. It's an adjective. It's a big word, right? Never use it. Do you use a stalwart? Maybe some of the cousins have used it, but I've never used it. The thing that stood out for me is firm, steadfast, and uncompromising. So who is the stalwart of the SEC, you say? Well, the biggest supporter of the SEC is none other than Greg Sankey, my man, book reader. Maybe he's the one that inspired me to do these words. Greg Sankey came out and has announced that we are going to a 9-game conference schedule in 2026. We'll continue with single standings, non-divisional structure. Each school will play 3 annual opponents focused on maintaining many traditional rivalries. Each team's remaining 6 games will rotate among the remaining conference schools. Each team will face every other SEC program at least once every 2 years. This is the big news, guys. I mean, say what you want about Greg Sink. I mean, some people love him, some people hate him, but there's no doubt in my mind that this guy has the SEC like 90%, like his life is consistent on making this conference the best conference in the world. Now, this 9 game was obviously held up because of the college football playoffs, because is it fair? I mean, we've talked at this ad nauseum, another big word, not the word of the day, but it is a big word. And I do think that it is important that it's noted that going to a 9 game, actually, I got a video. This one here is Paul Feinbaum. And on Feinbaum, Sankey kind of explains, but if you read between the lines, he's talking about college football playoffs, because that's the next conversation. Now that SEC is going to 9 games, what's college football playoffs going to look like? We're going to find out in November, December. He does hint at going to the 5-11, something that Kirby Smart was talking about the other day. He was a big fan of. But I don't think Greg Sankey makes this move if he doesn't know what's the next move, okay? And in this conversation he's having with Paul Feinbaum, it's about the college football playoffs, but I want you to listen to the wording he says here, because some of that is what really stood out to me.
How does this decision today affect where the league stands on the CFP expansion?
There are multiple chickens and plenty of eggs, right? So is it the chicken or the egg? Do you decide the format and then trigger your schedule off of the format? Do you decide the criteria, then follow with the schedule? Or do you take a step knowing that there's a bit of uncertainty in whatever you do? So, Paul, the announcement of the strength of schedule adjustments and I think a healthier metric being used to inform decision making, that's an element that weighed in favor of the 9-game conference schedule being implemented.
I think that's the key, though, is, you know, he mentioned strength of schedule. Sankey doesn't make this move if he doesn't know the next 2 moves. So I feel like the fact he's coming out here promoting the 5-11, that's where we're going, guys and girls. That's where it's going to be. SEC's doing this because ultimately, it's about entertainment. It's about money. We are the biggest winners of this. And that's one of the things I hear a lot of complaints saying, oh, well, SEC team's not going to make the playoffs. SEC team's not going to blah, blah, blah. It's not about that. We're gonna get ours. In fact, we could send one, the SEC championship champion, and I'd almost guarantee you that they're going to win a natty, right? But that's not what's happening here. What's happening is the SEC fans now get to watch 9 wonderful football games, all right? And on top of that, they're going to play one of the Big Tens. They're going to play one of the ACCs. That means 2 shit games, all right? All right? I mean, we're going to have that because we got to do what Indiana's doing up there. We got to promote a strength of schedule. But at the end of the day, when they're picking these teams that are going to make it, they're going to look at the SEC and the opponents that they face, these top 25 opponents, and we're going to have more seats at the table. There's going to be more 9-3 teams. There may be even 8-4 teams at some point. But I guarantee you that there are going to be plenty of SEC opponents in the college football playoffs when it's all said and done. Playoffs, we could talk later, right? That's going to be released November, December. We'll talk about that when that happens. More importantly, though, let's talk about the three permanent rivals, because that's my favorite part. Is we're not going to get them all, right? There's some teams that have four or five rivals, all right? But we're going to get three permanent rivals on an annual base. And then, more importantly, we're going to have a rotation where we're not facing a team every 10 years. We're going to get to see Texas A&M next year. And if we don't see Texas A&M next year, guess what? The year after, we're going to. That's the best part of this structure. This is why it's absolutely perfect. This is why I've been a huge I wanted it to happen. I'm running out of big words to use today. So let's jump in to what will happen. So I'm going to start off with the easiest ones, all right? So we start off with Texas. Texas was easy for me, right? We're going to have Oklahoma. We're going to have A&M. We have to find the third. And I don't think there's a better team to play right now than Arkansas. This is an old rivalry. This one absolutely makes sense. I can almost guarantee you this is exactly the three teams that Texas will be playing this year. So another easy one for me was Alabama. Now, some people are, Iron Bowl, we're going to have the third Saturday in October, we're going to have. So Alabama's third team being Mississippi State, and I know it's the wrong logo, but we're going to roll with it anyway. You know, when these two teams play, they talk about the proximity to each other. I think it's also important that, you know, Nick Saban, even though Mike would love to see LSU here, I'd love to see LSU here, but let's be realistic. Two tough opponents annually, typically, Auburn and Tennessee, they're not going to want to give them three powerhouses, right? So I feel like right down the street, Mississippi State makes the most sense. So let's go to Mississippi State. So we bring them up. This one was one of the tougher ones for me. It's the third game, right? No Ole Miss. Egg Bowl is going to be there. I just told you I think Alabama will be there. But Kentucky, if you recall when we were East and West, Mississippi State and Kentucky played on an annual basis. So they've already picked this game, you know. So I think that when we go to this, there's a chance that we pick it again. And I think it makes sense for Mississippi State. Again, you got Ole Miss, which is now a very good football team. Alabama, always going to be on top. Kentucky has some lows. So I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a balancing act here when it comes to Mississippi State. When you go to, let's go to Kentucky. I'm going to be bouncing around here. Kentucky, this is another one of the tougher ones for me. Now, you'll notice there's no Tennessee. I feel like, I'll show you Tennessee. I'm jumping ahead. But Tennessee was the tough one for me because I know Alabama's going to be there. I know in-state Vanderbilt's going to be there. Who's the third team? Now, guys, if I'm picking, we're going to Kentucky. But I'm not picking. So what makes sense? Well, one of the best damn football games that gets played on an annual basis right now, and that's Tennessee and Florida. They made sure that this continued during this two-year stint of trying to figure out how many games we're going to play, but Tennessee Florida makes too much sense. You could plug in a South Carolina here. You could plug in Kentucky makes sense, but man, could you imagine the griping and complaining if Tennessee walked out of there with Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Alabama? So I think Tennessee fans would be happy with this. Because again, it's entertainment. I think it would be awesome. Florida. So that being said, Florida, we got Tennessee, we got Georgia. This is the one that, you know, it's kind of been all over the place. It's that third game for Florida. I like the LSU. They kind of fabricated this rivalry, but it's been one of my favorite football games that gets played on an annual basis. We had Peter Burns, and he was talking about the rivalry, him and Doering have. I mean, it's just, it makes sense to keep this one on the board. Now, I will say this, out of all the teams, Florida would be getting screwed for powerhouses here, because LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, more times than not, are above a winning percentage here. But, I mean, if you're going to screw a team. No, I'm just kidding. I just feel like Florida, Oklahoma, that's the one that people keep bringing up. That doesn't make sense to me. It's too far away. These are teams that have been playing on an annual basis. They're trying to keep some of these rivalries intact. I feel like this is a good one to do. Auburn Tigers. We got the Iron Bowl, of course. You got the Georgia Auburn rivalry. This is a big one. I felt like they needed a little bit of a life preserver. Not too far away, we chose Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt's got to have 3-2. They've got Tennessee. Vanderbilt has Kentucky. I felt like Auburn would be a perfect fit for them, just to kind of balance act. Again, we're talking proximity. You know, easy to get to. Has been kind of a fun game here lately with the Pavia and Hugh Freeze saga. So I'd like to see that continue. Ole Miss, you're going to notice Oklahoma. Hey, we haven't seen Oklahoma yet. Where are they going to be? Obviously, we're going to have the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss LSU has turned into one of my favorite football games. Huge rivalry there. But Oklahoma, okay, this is one of the toughest ones for me, is to figure out who the permanent rivals would be, because, again, they're new here. This is 10, 15, 20 years from now. These rivals, if these are the three teams that we pick, I guarantee you they're going to absolute – hell, they hate each other already, right? They hate Texas. They hate Mizzou, even though they don't want to consider it a rival. But I think we got to roll with it, because it's there. The passion's there. But Ole Miss, Oklahoma is probably one that doesn't – do anything right now, right? Because let's look at Oklahoma's schedule. And right now, when you're looking at those Sooners, you're going to notice that we have played 2 years in a row, so they purposely picked this one. It isn't that far away. I don't know. Oklahoma has been all over the board. I've seen a lot of people talk about different opponents here, but what makes sense, guys? Mizzou? Yes, makes sense. Texas, makes sense. You could throw a Texas A&M. You could throw an Arkansas. Those, I would not argue with you here, but I feel like there's a handful of teams that you just got to find a spot, and Ole Miss can work. So trust me on this one. Now, speaking of Arkansas, we talked about Texas already. This is another one that has a lot of rivals. You don't realize Arkansas hates everybody, right? So you got to figure out which one they hate the most. I love this Mizzou-Arkansas rivalry. It's fun. You ask an Arkansas fan, it's not a rival. You ask a Mizzou fan, it's not a rival. But by God, it is such a fun game to watch at the end of the year. You got to keep it. This is a game that I think moving forward needs to be played on an annual basis. Texas-Arkansas makes sense. A&M Arkansas also makes sense here. You know, it's not Jerry's world now. They're going to have the home and home. I think that's very important at the end of the day. And maybe that had a little something to do with, again, the future. You got to think, when shit happens in the SEC, what's it going to affect 2-3 years down the road? They're always thinking ahead. So you see stuff like, hey, we're not going to be playing in Jerry's world anymore. Well, then why? Well, maybe because we're going to go back to home and home here, and we're going to make this damn thing a rivalry. Texas A&M, we got Arkansas. We got Texas. We got LSU. LSU A&M, probably one of my favorite games. I say that about a lot of them, but, you know, when we start stealing coordinator ADs and coaches and shit like that, that's what makes it fun. This is a game that if you're talking A&M, you could pencil in Alabama. I think Mike liked that one. I felt like that was a fun game. But LSU, A&M, I mean, they're probably like two of the closest schools in proximity. I mean, LSU's constantly recruiting in Texas. Texas is trying to recruit down there in Louisiana. It could be a awesome, awesome rivalry. It already is. I feel like that's going to be a good one. LSU, so now that being said, we know about Florida. We know about Ole Miss. We know about A&M. Any teams I didn't cover? South Carolina. Now, this one here. Listen, I mean, you talk about hate. South Carolina hates everybody, right? You could just put all 16 teams, 15 teams up on a dartboard, throw a dart. Whoever it lands on, South Carolina can easily make a rival out of that freaking team. But Battle of Columbia, yeah, I know they play for a trophy, but I like Columbia. It makes sense, home and home. But this game, this game's going to be awesome this year. This game was awesome last year. I mean, it knocked basically Mizzou out of college football playoffs, right? It almost got South Carolina to those playoffs. This is a game that you talk about pure hatred. These two teams go at it. They hate each other's coaches. They just – it's perfect. It's perfect. Now, Kentucky, South Carolina, not as zesty as it used to be, but damn, how can you not love – the Kentucky South Carolina Sunglass Bowl. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that is a match made in heaven. South Carolina, Georgia is another one. You know, you could easily, like I said, with South Carolina, you could plug in four other teams. I thought about Florida. You know, I thought about Tennessee being here close, but Georgia, South Carolina. Recruiting, I mean, talk about a recruiting bed. These guys share it. I think this one is absolutely perfect. Georgia, I've got South Carolina, Auburn, and Florida. Because we talked about South Carolina, obviously you're going to keep the Florida game. This one is, I believe that's all the teams here. So did I miss? I don't think so. I think when we get to the very end, Cousin Shane's permanent three is absolutely perfect. But let me jump over here to the comments. Let's see what you guys say. Am I missing any? Am I missing any? Please help the show. Like the video. Oh, thanks, cuz. Well, look, cuz is up this morning. Cousin, God bless that man. Thank you, Mikey. I appreciate you. Woke up. Jeez. Oh, man. Well, I think that this is absolutely perfect. You can tweak a few. Obviously, there's going to be some. Some of these are going to be absolute, right? And I may be wrong. I may be wrong on every one of these. I don't know. I started plugging it in this morning. I was like, well, damn, maybe I am wrong. But I don't think so. I think I nailed it. But you know what else you can nail? Your Monday. We're one day closer to SEC football kicking off. Thursday, we're going to – actually, Friday Mike and I are talking about actually watching the game. So if you guys are up and at it and you've got nothing else to do, you can get on here and stream with us. We're going to watch Baylor and Auburn, and we're going to talk about how much we love Hugh Freeze for those 60 minutes. But Cousins, I got to get out of here. I've got things to do. Oh, let me end with this. A lot of people have been asking, and I appreciate all the thoughts and prayers for the Cracker Barrel situation. Does it make sense what they did? Absolutely not. I think it was absolute train wreck. And honestly, if you were to ask me, gave me, I think, of $700 million to fix this thing. First off, I'd said, don't block Cousin Shane. All right? He's giving us all this free advertising. He loves this fucking restaurant. Let's keep him on the list. But they did. All right? I digress. I would take that money. This is, you want to fix it. When I walked into Cracker Barrel when I was younger, the first thing I was greeted with was a basket full of biscuits. No questions. No nothing. I ain't got to order. I ain't got to get my drinks in. Those biscuits were on the table, right? Kind of like a Texas Roadhouse. Well, that's a good restaurant. You go there, and guess what they're going to bring you? Rolls. What do people talk about their restaurant? Rolls. They used to talk about that Cracker Barrel. They love the biscuits. They ain't the same anymore either. Let's don't act like they're just making them from scratch back there. So those biscuits and cornbread, that needs to be at the table. Another thing that drives me nuts is you got to wait for your whole damn party to show up. You know, you sit over there and they're like, hey, where's your mamaw at? Well, mamaw's I mean, she's walking 100 feet with a stroller. Let's get her asses parked. You know what I'm saying? Let's don't wait for Mama to come in here. Let's get sitting. Because now we can break bread. That's what family restaurants do. We don't wait till everybody comes over before we go to Mama's. No, you let us in. So a couple of things you could fix. One, bring my biscuits. And don't hold the jelly. Don't bring 6 biscuits and 2 jellies. Come on, man. What are we doing? What game are we playing here? Another thing, don't make us wait. And the third thing, stop changing shit, all right? The reason that we like Cracker Barrel is because it's Cracker Barrel. 14 years ago, 18 years ago, 25 years ago, I knew exactly what that meal was. I knew exactly what that establishment's going to look like when I got in there. But you're changing it. It makes no sense. They change it. Don't change it. Change it back. All right, spend the rest of the money that you didn't spend on painting these damn walls and put it back the way it's supposed to be. All right, I'm getting out of here. That's all the shit I got to do. Love you guys. Well, be on tonight with the smart guy. Thoughts, prayers for Mike. Pray is that he's feeling a little bit better. He was a little bit under the weather last night, but we got so much action coming out to you. So be sure to have those notifications on. Thumbs up. Really appreciate you guys. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful month.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.